And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
And now, broadcasting live from the top floor of the WNSR Broadcasting Compound in the heart of Music City, USA, it's Redneck Nation Radio.
This is Philip Forsberg of the Nashville Predators.
Hi, this is Pete Weber, the Nashville Predator.
Time for an all-skate around the NHL with all the news and updates you need.
But you need to dig in right now, every guy.
Everybody loves the soldiers until they come home and stop fighting.
Enough is enough.
They need me to bleed, and I'll bleed for my team.
Start playing with some jam in here. Let's go.
Hi, this is PK Subban of the Nashville Predators. Keep listening to Predneck Nation, or you will be body checked.
And now, here's your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Saulnier.
It's time for a Predneck takeover of Nashville Sports Radio. That's right, I am taking over the Bill King Show. Your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Saulnier, here. They haven't changed the alarm codes yet, and they haven't put any mechanisms of control on this show. So here we are taking over what is normally the Bill King Show. The best college football talk, the best college sports talk. Well, right now, you've got the best hockey talk, and you've got the most entertaining hockey show that has ever existed. It's Predneck Nation Radio. I am your host and your captain, Crazy Charlie Saulnier. Don't forget, check out that website, PredneckNation.com. Give us a like on Facebook. Give us a follow on Twitter at Predneck Nation. Here to talk about your first place in the Central Division, Nashville Predators, after 44 games played. The Preds 27-11-6. That's good for 60 points. They've played two less games than the Winnipeg Jets in second place, yet they lead them by a point. St. Louis also at 59 points. Dallas at 56, worst to first in the Central. And worst is the Chicago Blackhawks, still separated by only 10 points, the best division in all of hockey. Every team in the Central with a positive goal differential. The Nashville Predators 15-4-2. Get set for their next opponent, the Florida Panthers, coming into town as the Nashville Predators get ready to close out a homestand and head into a one-game road trip to New Jersey before the All-Star break. The Florida Panthers will face off against the Las Vegas Golden Knights tonight before traveling into Nashville. Florida currently is 43 games played, 18-19-6. That's good for 42 points. That is fifth in the Atlantic Division. On the road, not so good, 8-12-3, a goal differential of minus 19, and the road has been unkind to the Florida Panthers as of late. Looking at their last five, it was a 5-1 loss in Minnesota, and then a 4-2 loss in Detroit, a 3-2 shootout loss at Columbus, and a 7-4 victory at St. Louis. Preds fans rejoiced on that particular evening, and then Florida got back to their losing ways, 4-2. This was a home game against Calgary. Like I said, tonight they will take on the Las Vegas Golden Knights, and then they will travel to Nashville to take on the Predators at Bridgestone Arena on a Saturday night in downtown Nashville. Roberto Luongo, lower body injury, out until February. That sets up a conundrum for the Florida Panthers. What are they going to do as far as goaltending is concerned in this back-to-back? James Reimer has started the last 16 games. Is this a situation where we see Antti Niemi in net for the Florida Panthers? As I mentioned, the Nashville Predators, they will take on the Panthers on Saturday night, then the Tampa Bay Lightning on Tuesday. Thursday, a one-game road trip to New Jersey, then the All-Star break, then just to set you up for after the All-Star break, three home games, Chicago, L.A., and the New York Rangers, and then a four-game Northeast road trip that'll have them visiting Canada a couple of times. The Preds NHL ranks right now, penalty kill sitting at 12th, the power play is at 4th, goals against sitting at 4th as well in the league, 2.5 per game, excellent right there in that statistic. Goals for 12th down to 3.0, that's actually down a little bit. The offense has been sluggish as of late. For this Nashville Predators team, we had an opportunity to see them on the ice last night against the worst team in the NHL in the Arizona Coyotes. Good news for the Nashville Predators going into this game. Ryan Johansson was able to recover from the hit that he took in the previous game against Las Vegas, and he was back on the ice, back on the first line, a new first line with all of the injuries. Fiala and Yarncroke, the wingers around Johansson, the Turris, Smith, and Fiala line broken up for the first time since Turris has been traded to the Nashville Predators. Bonino gets on the side of Turris with Craig Smith. Salamaki, Sissons, and Watson's on your third line. Goudreau, Hartnell, Aberg on the fourth line. And the D pairs. We're going to have to talk about this a little bit more with Mastrodamus in just a little bit. We've got a situation where the coaching staff has been carrying 8D and basically rotating and not necessarily keeping the pairs together, trying to keep the workload more distributed, more evenly distributed throughout all six defensemen that are playing each and every night. So in this situation, we saw Ekholm and Irwin together, Emelin and Subban skating together again, and Josi and Ellis, and that would come to pay off in this game. Now let's get into this game and let's talk about it. The Nashville Predators were embarrassed in the desert just 2 weeks ago against this Phoenix Coyotes team, and that's right, I said Phoenix again, and I meant the Arizona Coyotes. I wish they'd stop switching things like that. So getting into this game, I had high expectations for the Nashville Predators to come out and compete and play this game very hard. No opportunity to give any more points to the Arizona Coyotes. 2 minutes into the first period, Austin Watson recovers a loose puck after a turnover in the slot. Gets a good shot. Sissons gets a rebound chance. Already the Preds looking good out there, playing with some jam, working hard. We go all the way to the 9-minute mark of the first period. Pekarinen with a big sequence of saves. And he let this right after the TV timeout. Three saves on this particular sequence. And this was the first time that Arizona had really generated any shots on goal before this. They had only had one for the game. 11:50 into the first, Johansson shoots from the blue line. Puck hits traffic in front. Fiala gets a putback. You've got the first huge save of the game by Antti Raanta. And that hits Felder's magic number of 10 shots on goal in the period. The Predators have struggled to get to that number as of late, so we made sure to make a mark of that. 11:50 of the first period. 17:03 of the first period. Arizona gets its first shot on goal in almost 10 minutes. The Preds are controlling the play. They're getting high shot volume, just not getting enough really good scoring chances. 18:09, Colton Sissons goes to the box. 2 minutes for interference for Colton Sissons, his third minor penalty in two games. And you could tell that he was frustrated. And it was a difficult penalty for him to take. End of the first period. We've got no score. We do have the Predators out shooting the Coyotes 12-6. Start of the second period, just 1:17 in. Richardson for Arizona takes a 4-minute high-sticking penalty, double minor. Ekholm's got a cut on the ear, a little bit of blood right there. He gets some repair work on the bench. First 2 minutes of this power play, great puck movement, but simply not enough shots. As Terry Crisp would say on the broadcast very often, just too cute right there. Second power play, Smith and Johansson generate some good scoring chances, but the Preds unable to get a goal on the board, and the 4-minute power play comes to an end. Rene makes a good series of saves on the shift after the power play. Three more saves on this sequence. Arizona not able to get a lot of shots on goal, but they're getting them in bunches when they're getting opportunities, and they're getting a couple of good shifts here and there. But overall, Preds controlling the play, just not breaking through. More shot volume, just not high enough quality of shots. 18 minutes into the second, Ellis pass from the half wall to Craig Smith for an outstanding scoring chance. Ellis was looking good in this game, so was Craig Smith. 18:17, just 17 seconds after that previous scoring chance, Scott Hartnell picks up his 7th goal of the season. You've got a fourth line contribution right here as Roman Josi gets the puck from Pekarinen behind the defensive net, moves it over to Ellis on the half wall. Ellis, with great vision and passing ability, makes the stretch pass all the way to Hartnell at the blue line, springs him for a partial breakaway. Backhand, forehand, just enough to roll that puck into the net, and Nashville Predators have a 1-0 lead over the Arizona Coyotes. And you know I'm a Scott Hartnell guy. Fourth line contribution, great contract, $1 million for 1 year, 7 goals on the season. I like him getting on the score sheet and would love to see that continue to happen as the season progresses. 10 seconds to go in the second period. One of these moments, you know, these momentum swing goals, one of these big momentum killers. The Predators had been playing good. They finally get on the board, and then there is Ekman Larson with his 8th of the season for Arizona. He recovers a rebound after a flurry of shots. We mentioned Arizona was able to get some good shifts and able to generate a couple of scoring chances per shift when they were getting them. A flurry of shots, Rene able to make the first couple of saves. The loose puck squeeze weeks out of there, and Ekman-Larsson is able to chip the puck up over Rene. We have a 1-1 game at the end of the second period. Shots on goal, Nashville leading 21-17. So Arizona gets 11 shots on goal in the second period, and they get on the score sheet. Moving into the third, Arizona, strong first couple of shifts. It's obvious that they gained some momentum off of that last second tying goal in the second. They've got more energy, and they are bringing the jam out there on the ice. 6:30 into the third, Kevin Fiala receives a stretch pass from Craig Smith. Coyotes D-man dives and disrupts it. People in the building were looking for a penalty on this. It was a 50-50 call. They gave a benefit of the doubt to the defender. Fiala is able to recover the puck in the corner, drives to the net. Antti Raanta makes a strong save on the goal line. Kevin Fiala, Antti Raanta, these two were competing hard and getting after each other this entire game, and it would continue. 8:20 into the third period, Matt Irwin skates the puck into the circle. Nifty little move right there. You wouldn't expect that from Matt Irwin. Gets a good shot on goal, moved right around the winger who was covering him out there on the point, and gets a good shot. Rebound opportunity right there. Preds unable to capitalize. 11:17 into the third. Fiala gets another good scoring chance after a lead pass from Johansson. Fiala, Johansson, for not skating together very often, looking very good, having some chemistry on the ice. 12:50 into the third. Fiala again driving the net hard. Sets up Yarncroak this time. Everybody thought he put that shot on net. Slick little pass over to Yarncroak. Looked like Yarncroak was going to be able to put this one in. He had a lot of net to look at. Raanta gets back across, gets to the middle of the net, able to make the save. 13:40 into the third period. Perlini for Arizona picks up his 11th goal of the season. He gets the puck at the red line, splits three Preds players, gets a backhand from the circle to the top corner, and it was a perfect shot just inside the post and the crossbar right there in the corner. And Arizona has a 2-1 lead late in the third period. Nashville Predators are going up against the worst team in the league. How are they going to respond? Do they have the guts for the comeback? We're about to find out. 13:47 into the third period. Goligoski goes to the box, 2 minutes for interference. Kevin Fiala again, everywhere on the ice in this third period, hits the post on this power play. Power play comes and it goes. Preds unable to capitalize on this late power play. 17:23 into the third. Ryan Ellis with his second goal of the season. Just a bomb. He has an incredible shot. Roman Josi recovers the loose puck along the wall. Makes a pass over to Ellis for the one-timer. Bonino sets the screen in front. A little bit of traffic between Bonino and Raanta. The goal gets challenged for potential interference. Goal is upheld and allowed. Nashville Predators tie the game 2-2. Shots on goal now, end of regulation. 36 for Nashville, 28 for Arizona. Within the first 30 seconds of overtime, Pekka Rinne makes a huge save on Arizona. 1 minute into the overtime period, Turris is cross-checked. Could not believe that there was no call on this situation. It could have been a cross-check. It could have been boarding. Hell, it could have been as basic as interference. Regardless, it was a penalty, and just about everybody knows it, but it wasn't called. They were letting them play in overtime, so we play on. 1:35 into the overtime period. Craig Smith, an outstanding scoring chance. Smith, Fiala, all over the place, third period and overtime. Craig Smith gets another opportunity and hits the crossbar on a laser of a shot from just inside the blue line. With 4 seconds remaining in the OT, Kevin Fiala goes to the box. 2 minutes for slashing, inconsequential. As they drop the puck, it's a tie-up. The clock expires, and we go to the shootout in the overtime period. The Preds had 2 shots on goal. Arizona had 1 shot on goal. In the overtime, the shootout, the Preds switch it up, and they allow Arizona to shoot first. Normally, in this season, the trend has been that the Predators would shoot first, letting Arizona go first. Perlini gets in there, and he is stopped by Pekka Rinne. Kyle Turris takes the first shot for Nashville. He hits the wrist roll, opens up the blade, and snaps it home. An outstanding move. He lets the goaltender see nothing, and that shot gets on the net quickly. Preds are up by 1 in the shootout. Panic Big time glove save by Pekka-Rinne on this one. That's the one part of Pekka-Rinne I would not ever test is the glove. He is usually pretty strong on that part of the game. Ellis gets a chance in the shootout for the Preds. He gets stopped by Ranta, tries to go five hole. Cousins gets a wrist shot off the post for Arizona, ties the shootout at one. Kevin Fiala unable to capitalize. Ekman Larson unable to put one past Rinne. And then Craig Smith gets an opportunity. Wrist shot, five hole, hands go up. Predators take the 2 points from the Arizona Coyotes in the shootout final, 3-2. It should not have come to a shootout against the worst team in the NHL, but it did, and the Nashville Predators were down by a goal with just a couple of minutes to go, and they were able to find a way to grind it out, get the tie on home ice, get through the overtime, get to the shootout, and win the shootout. 2 points for the Nashville Predators, and that puts the Preds in first place in the Central Division and somewhat redeems them for the terrible loss that they had in the desert to Arizona not that long ago. Now the Preds look to continue their homestand. They've won four in a row, and they will face off against the Florida Panthers, then against the Tampa Bay Lightning, one-game road trip to New Jersey, and then the All-Star break. Well, you know one guy that's going to get you all kinds of hyped up. He's got some words for the Coyotes. He's also got some words for the Panthers, and he's here to get you all fired up. He is the ultimate predator.
Folks, what we have done in the last couple of games is show that we have resiliency, show that we have an amazing gift, a gift that allows us to take two of our star players, put them down, and still find a way. Laviolette goes and switches up the lines. We bring up a few players from Milwaukee. We sit a few people that normally play. We play a few people that normally sit. And what do? We find a way. It is classic next man up. It is Survivor Series hockey. And as we enter, it's going to become Royal Rumble hockey. And what I mean by that is there are going to be 30 other teams gunning for our spot, for our blood, for our sweat, and everything that we have earned and scrapped and fought for. Well, let me tell you something. 30 may enter, one will rise, and I can guarantee you when the dust settles, it's going to be the Nashville Predators. Send your best our way. We will do what we do, and that is defend the stone and invade your home and take what is rightfully ours. As of right now, we stand again top the Central Division, and it is going to be a fight. And now Royal Rumble hockey begins. Play hard, play smart. And tonight, and Saturday night, and every night after that, I want to hear each and every one of you. I want to hear your individual voices. I want to listen to everything you have to say and hear and eat and swallow and drink when it comes to Nashville Predators hockey. The hill gets tougher from here. Royal Rumble hockey, now is our time. We start at number one and we exit at number one. Go Preds! Our time, our year. Let me hear you, Smashville.
This is Craig Smith, the Nashville Predators. Welcome to Smashville. Keep listening to Predneck Nation Radio, Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
Craig Smith with the game winner in the shootout for the Nashville Predators over the Arizona Coyotes. You heard the promo. Live on game days at 5, replays at 6, but we'll come in at 6, 7. We'll take over whatever radio show we feel like. The Bill King Show, well, he'll be coming up at the top of the hour. That'll be the best college football and sports talk that you can ever possibly hear. But right now, you're getting the best hockey coverage and the best hockey show that you could possibly get as well. He's got a PhD in the oblong spheroid. Well, I've got a PhD in the vulcanized rubber. Talking Nashville Predators hockey, the Nashville Predators sit in first place in the Central Division, 15-4-2 record at home, and they will face off against the Florida Panthers next after defeating the Arizona Coyotes. I am your host and your captain, Crazy Charlie Sonny. Welcome in. Don't forget, check out PredneckNation.com. Give us a like on Facebook. And also, always, you can follow us at Predneck Nation on Twitter. Easy enough right there. Head writer of PredneckNation.com, the starting goaltender of Predneck Nation, and a guy that's so far ahead in the future, he can even tell you what's going to happen tonight in Florida and tomorrow night in Nashville. Well, he is Mostradamus on Twitter at GreekGoalie35. Always up for the interaction. Just make sure you bring a strong opinion. Greg, good morning. How are you?
Doing well, Charlie. Good to get 2 points out of Arizona for a change.
That was not as easy as it should have been for playing the worst team in the NHL. The Nashville Predators should not have had to come back late in the third, but they did. Good on them. They had the guts to make the comeback and win that thing in the shootout. Let's talk about a couple of performances from that game. Of course, we saw Pekka Rinne get back in the net, his first start after the bye week. Good job by the Nashville Predators to get him some rest as of late. He was 27 of 29. The first goal makes the initial saves, a big scrum in front. Ekman Larson able to chip in the rebound. Tough goal right there for Pekka Rinne. The second goal, Perlini, a perfect backhand top corner. I don't know what else you could have done on that one. Positioning seemed to be solid. Overall, I thought Rinne was good. I didn't think he had as much work as you might normally be expecting. He went long stretches without shots on net and then had flurries of shots. But overall, Greg, what this led to was his 291st career win and a shootout victory on home ice for Pekka Rinne.
He didn't really have to be fantastic. The Preds did a good job defensively against Arizona. Arizona did get their shifts where they cycled and they got their zone time, but he didn't have to be fantastic that night. I mean, Arizona did miss some opportunities. Killer Goligoski, a tap in front of the net, completely whiffs it on the rush, so that's why he's playing defense and not forward. But Pekka Rinne, solid performance. I think they said it's only his fifth game in the last 4 weeks. Plenty of rest for Rinne when everybody's been enamored with he's going to get tired by the playoffs and this and that. And it's like, well, they've rotated in UC Saros quite well as of late to give Pekka Rinne plenty of rest, plus the All-Star break coming up here next week as well. So solid performance by Rinne. Not really anything he could do on either one of those goals. So no rust shown for Nashville.
Talk about a couple of performances for the Nashville Predators. At forward, Kevin Fiala. As I went through my game notes, his name appeared more than anybody else. He got an opportunity to skate on that top line with Ryan Johansson. And though the two of them have not played together very much, they seem to have some good chemistry and thrive. And Fiala at the end of this game, 5 shots on goal, plus another post, 3 takeaways just to show you how well he was skating in this game, and 20-40 of total ice time. He was everywhere, driving the net hard and playing hockey about as well as you could without putting the puck in the net.
Him and Smith, I mean, those two guys that they didn't get on the score sheet during regulation or overtime, but they absolutely were the best players on the ice for the Nashville Predators, constantly getting opportunity after opportunity. You said, mentioned again, hit another crossbar. Great opportunity. I mean, he's the pass of Yarncroke gets robbed by Ranta, but Fiala is one of those guys that you could see the development last season before the leg injury, and he's put it all together this season. Yeah, he's got a little bit cold as of late, only 1 goal in the last 10 games, but Kevin Fiala, you could just see the talent out there. Stick handling wise, I would put him even ahead of Forsberg the way he's been playing at lately. Some of the things he did to get those opportunities up close to the net. Just remarkable job by such a young player.
It's been great to watch, and a guy who brings a totally different skill set and a totally different game on the fourth line, maybe one of the best value contracts in the entire league at $1 million for 1 year. Scott Hartnell picks up a goal in this game, 2 shots on goal in only 7:24 of time on ice on the fourth line. I'm a Scott Hartnell guy, Greg, and it was great to see him catch that stretch pass and do just enough. Partial breakaway, maybe not even partial, and then just enough to get that puck to roll inside the post. Great effort by Scott Hartnell. We were looking for someone to step up with Arvidsson and Forsberg out of the lineup, and we saw Scott Hartnell get the Preds on the board first. Nice finish by Hartnell.
And the way Ranta was playing, too, you needed some sort of remarkable effort to beat him, because I would say breakaway, but he has Nick Chalmerson, one of the best defensive defensemen, draped all over him. And you could tell by the way Ranta came out of the net, he did not expect Hartnell to be able to get past Chalmerson on the forehand, so he came way out, challenged him, and somehow Hartnell was able to drive, get Chalmerson off his back, and just barely tucked that one in. It was obviously the puck kind of went in slow motion the way he did it, but it's one of those things where Ranta totally fooled, didn't expect him to get past Chalmerson, so kudos to Hartnell to push off one of the better defensive for Arizona and tuck that puck in.
Most things Scott Hartnell is doing at this point in his career are in slow motion. But 7 goals on the season, and since coming back from injury, it took him a little while to get going again. But now, looking good out there and generating opportunities, driving the net hard, and certainly the other Predators recognizing that. Let's talk about a couple of the defensive standouts in this game. And you have to talk about Ryan Ellison. He just loves scoring against the Arizona Coyotes now. 2 goals on the season against the Coyotes last night, a goal and an assist. He had 4 four shots on goal, 22-33 time on ice, starting to get regular minutes now after the injury, now a couple of games from that. And Ellis just absolutely unloads the one-timer. He has one of the strongest shots in the NHL. And I don't think very many people are aware of that, Greg, but you certainly saw a classic example of it on that one-timer that ties the game.
You don't expect a guy who's 5'10" to have one of the harder shots in the league from the blue line, but Ryan Ellis, not many people outside of Nashville realize how heavy of a shot he has. And he's been utilizing it here as of late as he's gotten more comfortable. I mean, and overall, look at the defense of Nashville, 19 shots on goal last night from the blue line. So they're definitely putting the puck on net and getting traffic in front to try to generate chances that way. But Ryan Ellis, you have a bomb like that from that range, if he puts it on net, you're going to have to pray as a goaltender that it just hits you, because you're not going to be able to react to stop that puck. And he puts it just inside the post on the glove side. Good screen in front by Bonino. I know they challenged it, but let's be honest, if nothing else, the referees owed us one for the one in Arizona.
I agree with you on that one. And you mentioned the amount of shots on goal for the defenseman of the Nashville Predators. Well, Roman Josi, also a big part of that. He had five of those shots on goal from the blue line. 24-34 time on ice. Also, two assists on the score sheet. Roman Josi also moving the puck and playing well, generating some good scoring opportunities against Arizona.
And I like what Laviolette's been doing. He's been rotating in the defenseman here and there. He's stuck with the same six the last couple of games, but he's also not going out there, even against Vegas when it was that intense of a game and you really want to get that victory on home ice. He didn't play anybody 27, 28, 29 minutes like you see other teams like Drew Doughty's of the world, the Ryan Suter's of the world, playing that many minutes, playing upwards of 30 minutes a night. Not doing that right now, particularly in the regular season. He's letting those guys rest, not putting that toll on them during the regular season, playing 24 minutes, 25 max really for any of the defensemen. But Roman Josi coming through large. We talked about who's going to come through with Forsberg and Arvidsson out. Hartnell obviously came through. Fiala's been playing out of his mind. Craig Smith's been playing out of his mind. But the defensive core, Josi Ellis, the leadership core of the team, really came through last night in a big way.
And you can see, while the scoring has kind of dried up as of late for the Predators, the defense has actually improved quite a bit, which is why the Preds are on a current winning streak. And of course, Ryan Ellis being back in the lineup, a huge part of that. But also, the way the coaching staff is going about distributing the minutes, like you mentioned, Greg, not necessarily keeping the D pairs as the top four plus those other two guys that come in and eat up some minutes late in a game or something. They're trying to distribute the minutes evenly throughout, and that's why we saw Ekholm with Irwin, and we saw Josi and Ellis, Emelin with Subban. We're really seeing a different style and distribution on the defensive side of things for the Predators, all in an attempt to keep these guys fresher longer, because they expect to be playing much deeper into the spring and summer again.
We'll see what happens in the playoffs. Obviously, the playoffs, you're probably play the top four more minutes, but when you don't play them those kind of minutes during the regular season, you're able to afford that luxury of playing them as much as you want during the playoffs. The way he rotates them in and out is good, because you look at it, 11 goals given up in the last seven games total. You like your chances on it. I don't care if your goal scoring has gotten a little bit dry and you're not scoring that many goals. You give up 11 in seven games, you're probably going to win the majority of those contests. I mean, 5-1-1 since Forsberg's been out. You take that every chance you get.
Let's talk about the Florida Panthers coming in here to Bridgestone Arena to face off against the Nashville Predators. They will have to deal with the Las Vegas Golden Knights tonight and then travel into Bridgestone Arena and face a Preds team that is sitting here waiting for them. Roberto Luongo is out till February with a lower body injury. That means James Reimer has played the last 16 games, Greg. We know Las Vegas is going to skate the Florida Panthers very hard tonight, and that the Florida Panthers are more than likely going to come in tired. What do you see as a situation for the goaltending with the Florida Panthers coming in after facing Las Vegas, and overall preview the Panthers for us?
Vegas played last night in Tampa Bay, an impressive victory against the Lightning, but they weren't chasing the game last night, so I don't think Vegas is going to have any tired legs out there. So difficult task for the Panthers, first game back from a bye week to face Vegas. Fully expect Vegas to take care of business there and James Reimer to be in net. Back-to-backs, because of the bye week, I wouldn't be surprised if Reimer plays against the Preds Saturday as well, playing the back-to-backs, started 16 in a row. Coming off a bye, he's not going to be fatigued unless Vegas just absolutely peppers him tonight with, 40, 45 shots. Their backup, Harry Sateri. Anybody ever heard of this guy? No? He's played AHL or KHL the last 7 years. He's 28 years old. So if the Preds end up seeing him, the game, they're both Western Conference games for Florida, so the importance doesn't really matter, but would fully expect to see James Reimer in net Florida, boy, they're going to see some Vegas tonight. You know, guys like Marchessault that they let go over there, Riley Smith they let go to Vegas. So it'll be interesting to see how they play for their first time in Florida.
The Panthers back-to-back nights get back-to-back first-place teams from the Western Conference. I do not envy them in this part of the schedule. And you mentioned it, James Reimer, 30 games played on the season, 12-12-5, a .305 goals against average, 9-10 save percentage. If Vegas does what I expect them to do tonight to him, he will be exhausted coming in here tomorrow to face off against the Nashville Predators. This Florida Panthers team also brings Jonathan Huberdeau. He's got 16 goals. He's their leading point guy at 44. They've got three players overall over 40 points. Barkov has 40 points. Trocheck has 17 goals on the season. And this Panthers team, well, they're just frankly middle of the pack. 43 games played at this point, 18-19-6, 42 points, and right now not much of a threat as far as playoffs go in the Eastern Conference. Right, Greg?
Look at the East. I mean, the minimum you're looking at is 48 points to be even in the hunt right now. They've got a cluster of teams that are in there with Pittsburgh, the Rangers, the Devils, the Islanders, that whole group right there all battling for playoff positioning right now. And Florida definitely on the outside looking in. They had played better for a little while, but obviously, you know, losing four of your last five games not going to cut it right now if you're going to try to make a run for the playoffs, including having that bye week too. Maybe they'll fix things after that, but it's going to be difficult for them to make that kind of push with that many teams in between them.
Final comment, Greg, Central Division, everyone has a positive in the goal differential category. That is highly unusual at this point in time in the season. Worst to first, and yes, worst is the Chicago Blackhawks right now. Last place in the Central with 50 points, but the Predators in first place with 60. So the division itself, incredibly close, even at this point in the season, only separated by 10. A lot of teams close in the pack. Winnipeg at 59, St. Louis at 59. And then you've got Dallas at 56, Colorado, Minnesota 53, and Chicago at 50. And you've got to give it up to the Colorado Avalanche. As of late, they are playing outstanding hockey, and that is not something that I thought I'd be saying, but they have won 8 in a row and not only climbed out of the cellar, but are only 7 points out of first place. Unlikely that they're going to continue on this hot streak, but outstanding hockey by the Avalanche. And overall, this division just continues steamrolling along.
You look at the Central Division, yeah, you have the top three with Nashville, Winnipeg, and St. Louis, and then, of course, Vegas and the Pacific. But after that, you don't talk about a cluster of teams. You said Dallas, 56 points. San Jose and Calgary, 54 points. The Kings, Minnesota, Colorado, all 53 points. Anaheim, 51 points, and they're getting healthy, so they're going to improve. You're talking about a good 6-7 teams there, all within just a couple points of each other. We've talked about it almost seems every single year. A bunch of teams only separated by a couple points at this stage in the season makes for an incredible stretch of hockey come February down the stretch. Be interesting to see what teams do as far as being buyers or sellers out there. See, are they going to make a playoff push or are they going to end up selling and try to look for next season? But Colorado, yeah, you can't say enough about what they've done this season compared to what they did last year. Already surpassed their win total from last season, just barely more than halfway through this year.
And what it's going to come down to in the Central Division is which team can go into the opponent's building and win on the road. Mastrodamus, I appreciate you joining me, talking all things Preds hockey. Of course, we'll be following you on Twitter at GreekGoalie35, tracking your work at Predneck Nation, and always listening to you right here in the second period of Predneck Nation Radio. Man, appreciate you joining me today.
Charlie, anytime. Thank you.
That's Mastrodamus right there at GreekGoalie35. Make sure you give that guy a follow. He's always up for talking pucks. He's got strong opinions. So make sure you bring your opinion to him. Let me tell you about something real quick, and the Bill King Show will be coming up at the top of the hour. That's right. I planted the flag for Predneck Nation and took over this here fine radio show. Normally this hour you'd be hearing the best college sports talk, but what you're hearing instead is the best hockey coverage that you could possibly hear. It's Predneck Nation Radio. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Saunier. What I want to tell you about is one of Bill King's fine sponsors, PrimoSeats.com. You need tickets up to the very last minute, the best seats, the best prices. Well, they're available at PrimoSeats.com. And I'm going to tell you how you can save yourself a little bit of money. Put the name Bill King in the promo code line and you'll save yourself a bit of dough. That's right. I might be taking over his show and now I might be taking over his sponsor too. but use his name for the promo code line till we get that figured out. Put Bill King in the promo code line, primoseats.com. Best seats, best prices, best customer service. Even up to the very last minute, these guys have helped me cross several concerts off of my bucket list. They've helped me get into games at the very last second when I couldn't possibly know that I was going to be available to go. And they are just an outstanding company, and they've done a great job sponsoring this here radio station for a very, very long time. PrimoSeats.com. That's PrimoSeats.com. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sarnia. You're listening to a Predneck takeover of the Bill King Show on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
Live from the WNSR studio, it's time for Mighty Drunks Radio.
There are a bunch of drama queens that spend an hour talking, 20 minutes jumping around while shit blows up.
Time to get the latest on the best beer league team in history. The two-time Stanley Keg champion, Mighty Drunks of Nashville Hockey Club. Here's our host and assistant captain, Crazy Charlie Saunier.
A takeover of a takeover of someone else's show. This is impossible. I am your host and alternate captain, Crazy Charlie Saunier. Number 89 in your program, number one on your hit list, the only man tapped into both locker rooms of the Mighty Drunks franchise. That's right, the greatest beer league hockey team and the voiceover at the beginning. Well, it might have to get updated because your Mighty Drunks will be competing for their third Stanley Keg Championship. We'll get to that in just a minute. Could be the first team ever to go back-to-back in Stanley Keg Championships at Fort Ice Center. Let me give you a quick update on the D-League. The D-League comes in with a 1-0 loss. Loss to the Fluffy Bunnies. Big time effort by Fluffy Bunnies goaltender James Green to keep the Mighty Drunks off the board. It was a 1-0 victory, and the Drunks move on this Sunday night to face off against the Goon Squad in the consolation playoff bracket. That game is at 9:15 at Ford Ice Center. Again, that is the D-League Mighty Drunks. The C-League Mighty Drunks, well, they wrapped up the Frozen Four with a 3-1 victory over the Cougars. Jeff Hall was just absolutely outstanding in net. The defense was a total team effort, and we go to the locker room and we hear from Colby Collier, the captain of the Mighty Drunks C-League team.
All right, boys, here's the Turtle Anarchy Mighty Drunks post-game report. Drunks victorious over Cougars on back-to-back Stanley Kegs. Player of the game tonight didn't show up on the score sheet. This guy came back from a concussion and played his heart out.
Yeah.
And Charlie's on you.
Hey, champ, how do I do it? Put it like that right there?
You help us do this.
First ever
C-League
playoff game.
So proud of the group. I mean, just a little bit I can do out there, winning faceoffs, blocking a couple of shots, and just playing and doing whatever I can. Just proud to represent the franchise, the organization. Can't wait to get back to a Stanley Keg final. Tonight was about business. One more to go, though. We're not there yet. Stanley Keg final. We're coming for you, Stanley.
Over here to boy Chase. What happened there at the end of the second period, man?
I went to have a nice chat with the ref. I really wanted to talk to the little guy. He seemed like my friend. The big guy got
PG-13.
He came in there and said, "Nah, bro." And he said these words. He said, "Nah, bro. Y'all have been slashing them all night." And then he wanted to fight. And he said, "Get out of my circle." I don't know. Apparently we play in the NHL. And then I called him Farva because he looks like Farva.
Mighty Drunks with a 3-1 victory over the Cougars. That was your locker room report. And that's right. I was player of the game. Didn't get on the score sheet, but I did just about everything that you could do out there, from winning faceoffs and blocking shots to making good passes, making sure I was defensively responsible. It was a total team effort. So proud as a rookie in the C-League to be a small part of this Mighty Drunks team, as it was a first place regular season victory championship and now Frozen Four victory over the Cougars. Now, next up, after the other Frozen Four matchup, Moo TV defeated the Crowd. Back in 5-4 in one hell of an exciting Frozen Four game. The 2-3 matchup, this went to a shootout. It went to extra skaters in the shootout. Moo TV advances to the Stanley Keg Final. This will be the second season in a row that the Mighty Drunks will face off against Moo TV. The Mighty Drunks are your defending Stanley Keg champions and go for back-to-back Stanley Keg championships and the third overall in franchise history. This Stanley Keg Final will be this Monday. Monday night, 9 p.m. at Ford Ice Center in Antioch, Tennessee. Free admission. They sell and serve talls at the concession stand. You should be there to see this. Going to be one hell of a hockey game, a rematch from last season. And the Mighty Drunks, again, skate for back-to-back Stanley Kegs. And you know what's coming up right after the Stanley Keg Final, January 25th to the 28th. The Mighty Drunks are headed to the U.S. Pond Hockey Championships on Lake Nokomis in Minnesota, looking to bring back the Golden Shovel. Second year in a row that the Mighty Drunks have been a part of the United States Pond Hockey Championships, this time sending multiple squads built and constructed to go up there and do more than just participate in the tournament this time. Looking forward to being one of the members that has been selected by the Mighty Drunks to go up to Minnesota and play hockey the way it was meant to be played. 4-on-4 hockey outside on the lake of Lake Nokomis. Absolutely freezing weather expected. It is going to be outstanding. We will have tons of great coverage through all feeds. Mighty Drunks, make sure you're following the Mighty Drunks on Twitter, like them on Facebook, and check out all things Mighty Drunks Hockey, our home base of operations, Ford Ice Center. Can't wait to skate for the Stanley Keg there Monday night. And then as the assistant captain of the Pond Hockey Championship squad, I will be driving the equipment van from Nashville up to Lake Nokomis, and I'll also be sporting those great new Rebirth jerseys that were made custom just for the U.S. Pond Hockey Championships. I'll also be wearing my hat from the Nash collection. And of course, for the boys, after they win the Golden Shovel, I'll be delivering the Turtle Anarchy all the way up to Minnesota, bringing Nashville's finest brew all the way to Lake Nokomis. It's going to be an outstanding week of hockey for the Mighty Drunks. Make sure you jump on board, get involved, and start supporting local hockey. Your favorite D-League team, your favorite C-League team, and soon to be your favorite upper C-League team. That's right, the Mighty Drunks, always expanding, always moving, always looking to grow the brand. We even have drones now. That's right, people. The Mighty Drunks have their own fleet of drones. We'll be filming at Lake Nokomis. We'll be filming everywhere we go from now on, and we will be getting that stuff out there. I am your host and assistant captain, Crazy Charlie Saunier. Thank you so much for joining me for Mighty Drunks Radio. Don't forget, D-League Sunday, 9:15 against Goon Squad. C-League skates for the Stanley Keg Monday at 9 o'clock at Ford Ice Center against Moo TV. And then January 25th through the 28th, next week, we go to the U.S. Pond Hockey Championships in Lake Nokomis, Minnesota. It's going to be an outstanding time, and it is great to be a Mighty Drunk.